Welcome to the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite, your premier destination for transformative insights, expert guidance, and unparalleled motivation. Join Jimmy Clare, a distinguished thought leader, renowned motivational speaker, and devoted autism advocate as he shares inspiring stories, cutting-edge strategies, and actionable advice to empower you to shatter obstacles, unlock your potential, and achieve crazy amazing results.
That's how my day has been going so far. Not a bad day, just been tired. Like a walking dead zombie. Wait, zombies don't sleep. Okay, well, anyway, man, that just really cut off my mojo. But today's guest, she's a freelance writer, author, and editor based in the States. She likes the various ways people communicate and connect, such as textbooks, letters, media content, pictures, sites, and so on. She enjoys helping aspiring authors, editors, and businesses find their confidence in their writing abilities to publish on different platforms. I like that too, to an extent, where sometimes where my platforms sometimes do not align very well when something breaks all the time. You know, technology. Fun when it works and sucks when it doesn't. Well, let's welcome today's guest, Deb. I'm looking forward to the conversation. And let's welcome her out. Hello.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you having me on your platform today. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
I look forward to our conversation as well. So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
So as you already said, you know, my name is Venchelle Sendik. I am a freelance author, writing brand strategist, and an author for my business, Pathway Coach Writing. My niche is in public health. I'm currently pursuing a doctorate in public health leadership and really focusing on behavioral health, you know, services, at least the access of it, you know, to people. But in terms of how I got started with my business, I have to harken back to when I was during my college days, when people would ask me for content feedback, you know, on their essays. And I sort of, at the time, was doing this as a hobby. And then it was not until like some years later when I started my own blog post when I was serving in the Peace Corps that I said to myself, maybe this is something that I could look into like as a potential business idea. But I didn't take it too seriously until one of my friends told me that I should, after giving her some feedback on her white paper, that I should definitely create a business out of this. And I think that, you know, looking back on this now in 2024, Pathway Coach Writing, you know, could have started maybe in the early 2010 or 2011. But again, I didn't see people I was not exposed to people who had successful writing businesses. And so I didn't know what that looked like. And so that's how I got started in the business. And then also it was out of this inner curiosity to be part of this movement of making sure that I saw people like myself in the writing editing industry. And then as someone who has lived in a different country, I was born in the States, but I grew up in Haiti. When I was going to school, like I just thought that it would be, it's always good to read books, you know, from people who come from your own country. And so that's what I bring to the table. Like I work with different clients and I love the fact that you have autism parenting, because like I'm a huge proponent of always figuring out who's always left behind, right? Like in any conversation, who's included and who's excluded. And so I want to be part of the movement of making everyone feel included when they're writing their stories or on any of their writing materials.
That's awesome. There's a few things I want to piggyback off real quick. One thing I really genuinely like what you said is of standing out and being different, because I've been watching TV shows with characters that are, and reading books that have different person, like a very different personality, different traits. If I list them, they would be just way too many, but each character, something stands out about them. Like, I'll give one example just because it's a good show, in my opinion. There's a show called The Rookie with the guy who played Richard Castle on the show Castle, and Nathan Fillion. And in the show,
Elisa Diaz
might be, but like in The Rookie, he's playing this rookie cop, and this guy, his character, like, he's a lot older than everyone else in the show, and so he's like, wait, are you having, and people, other characters ask him, like, are you having a midlife crisis, or you don't know what to do? You want to be a cop at however old his character is in the show? And he's like, no, I genuinely want to be a cop. But what was interesting is that everyone else around him is younger than he is. And I thought it's funny. It's like, I'm starting to notice the pattern of the shows that I'm watching and books that I'm reading, is I'm reading everybody who is different in a good way, whether it's by age or by this. So being different is not bad after all. And it's like, why am I gravitating to all of this? And I was like, I think I might be going through just, like, I'm kind of reflecting on in my 7+ years in business, like, what I'm doing with my business, is it making a difference? And I was like, and I keep on finding myself over the last few months is like, yes, yes, even though that the progress is slow as hell.
And that's the part, I think, that even for me, like, as a business owner, I always tell myself that there are going to be some days or some months where I have, I experience high productivity levels, where I have a high number of clients, and there are going to be months where it sort of wanes down. And I think that you need both, you know, to create balance. I think that what you're doing is exceptional. And, you know, even funny enough, when you're talking about just being unique or being different, I think that's an asset, because, again, you're not conforming to societal norms and expectations. It's also an indication that you have something unique to offer the world, and you're grounded in that. And so that's something that I always think to myself when I'm experiencing those slow days, like, you know, remembering my why. Like, why did I decide to even be part of this journey? What's really motivating me? And so I think that's so important, to value both times, the days when everything is working perfectly well, and then the days where it just feels like it's taking a minute to get over the hump. So,
and then the other thing I want to piggyback off is that when you said that when you're looking back on when you started, there's a lot of things I would have done a lot different. For instance, the platform I'm currently on for my website hosting company, I don't know what year it started, but I wish I found them a lot sooner, because I would have said, that would have saved me a lot of years of, well, 1 year of super frustration, and then 4 years of having to Well, I mean, I enjoyed the 4 years that I was on this other platform, but then I jumped to these guys because I can import more of my stuff, like podcasts and videos, versus how I did everything. Copy, paste. I'm tired of copy and pasting. I don't mind doing it for a few things, but everything else is like, the hell do I pay $252 a year for if I'm copying and pasting everything myself?
Right. No, that's true. I mean, you're making me think about like what I could have done differently when I first was starting off. I think that maybe one thing that I could have done at the time is already identified, like, you know, the people that I wanted to work with, which is something that I didn't have a clear idea of because I was just taking everyone. But I think at a certain point, as the business grows and as you continue to reflect on your values, those elements start to take shape and you start realizing, you know what, maybe I don't want to work with every single person. Maybe I need to be more selective. And I think that's what has happened to me. The moment that I started defining, you know, the values like of the people I'm working with that I want to be surrounded by, it sort of dictated, you know, the services that I provide, which made a huge difference. But had I known what I know today, I would have probably been more selective in the very beginning. But you know, I started in my early 20s. So again, the insight and the wisdom I had in my early 20s maybe was clouded, you know what I mean? Because you're focusing more on quantity rather than quality. And that's another aspect of business that I think people sometimes don't really talk about.
I know for myself, when I started, I was doing everything myself. I still do to a certain extent. I like writing, but I finally decided to allow more guest authors on my website and said I made to do every little nook and cranny. And not that I hate doing stuff, but I'm more focusing on the podcast aspect because it's like, I enjoy that. The writing is like algorithms and Google doing this, doing that. And it's I kind of feel like the numbers after a while kind of gives me like, I kind of feel, and I'm going to just make this kind of a, maybe a little bit of graphic picture. So, but I'm going to say as PG as possible, but it kind of feels like the numbers feels like Google's giving me the virtual middle finger half of the time. And so it's like, okay, I know my content's great, but, and these stupid little Google bots on the web are just saying, it's like, well, you don't really feel like it's great. And it's like, oh, come on. It's not like it's written by AI, like your other garbage written out there. Little bastards.
It's unfortunate. And I think that's what you and I run into, like, because these are online businesses. You know, they always talk about it has to be ATS friendly. And even when we're talking about, you know, something as simple as creating a resume or even writing a blog content with all of these ATS words, like, are we losing the essence of the meaning of what you were saying to begin with? You know what I mean? Just for the sake of trying to cater to this, like, to this requirement, just so that you can be seen over the web. And I'm finding out very quickly that you could use all the ATS friendly words as you want, all the action words that you want, and still, you know, and still not be seen. Because there's some things happening in the background that we don't have control over, especially with the algorithm.
And that's what I like about podcasting, because even though the platforms might have their own algorithms, at least when you still see the stats, it's like, oh, people still listen to the episode. And it's like, it makes me feel like, hey, this is feeling pretty good. Versus the other, where all the other stuff, like, one of the things that kind of bothers me as a writer for my, and being an entrepreneur, is that to see a company like Google, who has like pretty much all the money in the world. Let's just get saved, right? Bluntly like that. Let's just say the Google Search Console and Google Analytics do not match whatsoever. And I actually read an article that this, like, those two will never match. And it's like, no. Okay, Google, really? You couldn't come up with something better to match this, to match over here? And it's like, what an imbecile, like, idea.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. What is something that you miss about, you know, the, like, when you first started, right, your podcast and your business? Like, I think about, like, children, right, and how uninhibited they can be. Is there something that you miss that you should have, that you could have done when you first started? You know, when I don't want to say that we've become jaded. I don't want to say that. But I think sometimes, like, you know, and I don't always talk about it, but you do go through some lows, you know, when you're building a business, right, and trying to keep it running and trying to keep a roof over your head. Like, is there anything that you miss about that process, that earlier process?
I would say I think one process where I would say I miss would probably be, like, I think if I had to redo everything, I probably would have just stuck with the podcast part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I started my business based off of a personal writing project, just to continue to be a better writer.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate that, but I kind of wish I transitioned into podcasting a lot sooner. And I believe the reason why is just because I enjoy talking more to people and meeting new people versus just writing all the time. And now when I'm writing for other publications. So then I feel like, hey, I'm still getting my name out there, right? And keep on putting my name out there versus I'm doing all the stuff by myself on the back end, and here's my lonely slice of the web on my side. What about you?
Something that I miss. I miss when I had a virtual assistant. You know, when I literally didn't have to do all of the admin work. And I could just focus on just writing. And that's something that maybe I might have to bring back, because, you know, I'm in school and I'm, you know, I'm doing this. Like, this is part of my passion. You know, this is not about the money, because I could do it in my sleep. I just think that, you know, given that we're competing, I don't want to say competing against AI, because I've used AI, if nothing else, as a helper as well. Because I think that, hey, if this is where we're headed, like, you know, let's be friends with AI, because I know some people will have me review and edit AI, you know, content. I still struggle with being present with everything around me. I think that's the reason why, like, my ultimate focus is always to give my 100% or 200% to the client. But everything else in terms of the admin work, like, some things just get done, you know, a few weeks later. You know, it's just that capacity, that individual capacity to give 100% to everything. And I used to be one of these people, because I have type A personality, and I've had to just let go of that expectation. Some things are just going to get done when they need to get done. But the most important aspect of my business is my client. It's whoever is in front of me right now, and helping them get to their, you know, to help them fulfill their objectives.
You know, there's something I wanted to, that you hit the nail on the head with, is I don't have a virtual assistant, but I use a lot of different automation tools. Now, I don't mean like a bunch of AI, but one of these tools that I use, it's been giving me so many hiccups. Like, I set up a notification in Slack just to see what's going on, and maybe it will tell me something. Unfortunately, it does not always tell me what the error is. It's just like, ran into an error. It's like, of course, can you at least expand on that? No. It's like, how are you getting the fix for it? It's like, is the technology...
What's the name of it? Slack?
Well, this Slack, it just sends me a notification. the tool that I use for a lot of my automations, I use Zapier, and everything is just becoming a very big pain in the butt. And for those who might be listening, might be saying, well, why don't you just go reach out to Zapier support? Well, I'm going to let you in a little bit secret that I might be dropping a mic on, and you might be like, I didn't know this. And here's the secret. Zapier support is behind a paywall, just like Microsoft and AOL. And look how well that went down for AOL. You see how many, I don't know how many people are using AOL anymore. Well, unlike my dad, but other than that, we all know where AOL is going to be heading soon or later. But my point is,
I feel like I'm dating myself. As soon as you said AOL, like, that was back, I was a teenager. Remember those chats? Remember those, like, chats?
Yep.
When you had to, and then just annoying, I think.
You got mail.
Broadband connection.
Yep.
I remember that. But those were the days, I have to say. I enjoyed my teenage years, but, you know, there was so, I mean, that's when everything, the computer era, it just, everything was so new. It was booming. I had a MySpace at the time, if you can even imagine that. But now I don't even.
I used to have one.
Huh?
I used to have a MySpace.
You used to have one too? Okay. I eventually deleted mine because I said, I'm barely here. You know, like, I don't even know what's going on.
I think that was like the first version of Facebook before Facebook came out.
Yes. No, it was definitely a prototype for sure. But wow. Like, and even today, I think I was saying to you earlier, because I'm an avid, like, you know, your podcast is called Crazy Fitness Guy, right? I work out, like, you know, 5 times a week. And so today was one of the days when I didn't take a break. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, just in life, I hearken to the fact that you need a good trainer if you decide to go that route. I use YouTube videos, but if you decide to hire a trainer, you want someone who's going to have your back. You want to have someone who is looking out for your best interest. And I think that's the same case in our businesses too. You know, one thing I used to not like, and it's now that I'm coming to grips with that, is hiring people who always make you feel like there's something you could have done differently in your past. So, you know, so for a fitness trainer, it's kind of like, well, in 2019, you could have been at this weight, without realizing that, you know, life happens to people. And when we work with them, we got to be sort of forward thinking. It's like, okay, like, I know that I was working with you in 2019, but now it's 2024. A lot has happened. Let's focus on where you are now. And I think that's so important. Like, even in business formation, business development, and even afterwards, like, just being surrounded by people going to have your best interests at heart.
I agree with that. For instance, one of the platforms I use for fitness is called FitOn. I use it 3 days a week. And you might be wondering, like, why 3 days a week? Because the other three, I do kickboxing classes. And I'm there three nights a week, and then the other three, I was like, okay, three and three, six, here we go. Yeah. On the sixth day of working out, I just do yoga just to give myself a, I wouldn't say a big break, but just enough to stretch everything. Feel good, not overdo anything. But because I remember one time I worked at, there was only one time in, during 1 week where I worked at 7 days in a row because, I mean, I would just, I went for a lot of bike rides when I was at the shore for vacation. And I was like, you know, I don't get to bike ride every single time because like when I'm in Pennsylvania, I don't have a bike. My garage is not, not big enough to keep a bike. And so I figured, well, I'll get my bike riding enjoyment when I'm at my parents' shore house. And so I was like, I wouldn't say it's very high intensity unless if you're going very fast, but my bike is like a beach cruiser kind of bike, so you can't really go very fast on it. And I found out the hard way. The chain fell off my bike at least 3 times in 1 day. And I was like, I'm done. It's like, I'm either getting rid of this bike or I'm going to keep it. And I'm going to make sure when I'm riding it, I'll go medium to semi-fast, but I'm not going to
go super fast.
It's not like a mountain bike where you can just go like, oh yeah, I'm going to really work out on this thing. It's like, no. Once I started really going fast, I was like, slow down, please chain, don't fall off.
I mean, it's good that you're able to go out and biking. I do 5K and 10K walks. And I'm working my way to 20K, like in addition to like my five. So you work out 6 times a week. So you better than me. I like to give myself 2 days of break where I stretch everything. And you said you do yoga. I actually got into Pilates and wall Pilates, and this has been such a game changer. But yes, I am an avid just health enthusiast. Like I love making sure that I move for joy. I think that's where it's no longer for. Well, first of all, if we're going to keep it real, you know, I think exercising ensures that we don't have to buy a lot of clothes. Like you're able to work with what you got. But then at the same time, it gives me this adrenaline rush and I'm more alert. There's so many benefits to exercising that we wouldn't even have time to even discuss in your podcast. But I think it's good to meet other people who are health conscious. So.
I also got into Pilates as well. Sometimes I like to sneak that in during one of my workout weeks. If I was having a full week of away from karate, just because sometimes it gets boring just lifting weights. Sometimes it gets boring just doing yoga. Sometimes it just gets boring just bike riding because I go the same route because. I mean, when there's a boardwalk to bike ride on, it's like that or the street. What do I want? Oh, that's easy. And it's like, don't have to worry so much about cars. And it's like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Nah. And where you live, are they bike friendly?
Yeah. And the boardwalk is bike friendly. They also have, there also is like some bike lanes in the street when there's not enough, when there's a wider enough street. But it's very bike friendly because the whole island's like 25 miles an hour.
Oh.
But then there's some people who drive like 50. It's like, yeah, you missed the speed limit by minus 25.
Wow. Well, where I live in Maryland, like, I like to think like it's not very bike friendly unless you're in DC. And then also, to be honest with you, the way that the the intersections are built, it doesn't really, it's not conducive, or it doesn't even incentivize someone to go on a bike ride, because some people are just driving like nuts. It's like, and it, even like as I'm walking as a pedestrian, because there's not a lot of sidewalks, like I'm almost always afraid. I'm like, someone is going to probably not even pay attention to the walk sign and just like run someone over. So it's good that you live on an island where you can do that.
Well, I mean, that just for like during the summer months, but here I'm in Pennsylvania, and even my small little community, I wouldn't even say that small, but in my small, medium-sized community, wherever you want to call it, let's just say, it's scary to walk on the main roads, because there's people who, even though it's 25 miles through the whole neighborhood, there's people who I've seen who did like 60, 70, 80. And I was like, I'm going to say this in the nicest way as possible, and maybe some people may or may not agree with this. And I'm not saying I'm an extreme person, but sometimes I kind of wish, with all the technology we have, it'd be nice if, like, to slow down a car without having to create so many speed bumps and whatnot, and have to repay them every single year, or et cetera, or cost more money. It's like, it'd be kind of great if there was like some kind of technology, affordable technology, that if somebody's going that fast, it could just automatically pop up and tell them to slow the hell down, or get them to like skid their car a little bit, just like, you better slow the hell down. And not skid the car like, or like make them crash or anything, but just to get them to be like, oh wow, I really should slow down.
Right. No, I agree with you. And even when you're talking about speed bumps, there are like six of them in the parking lot. Because for whatever reason, some people think that parking lot is like a highway, and they speeding. And so, yes, I agree with you. I think that they should have more technology. And you know, there are some cars who can actually do that already. It's just that they're more on the higher end, which, again, brings me to, you know, how can we make sure like this is something that everyone can afford, so that's not just for a select few? I mean, when we're talking about safety, that impacts everyone, not just people who are rich, not just people who are poor, or the middle class. It's everyone. Everyone is impacted.
Yeah, it's bad. And that kind of goes to my next point. It's like insurance. It's like, you're damned if you pay a lot, and you're damned if you don't pay a lot. So it's like, and to be honest, and not going political wise or anything, but being just going visiting Ireland last year, socialized medicine is not the way to go, because according to someone over there, it was like, it takes 10 years to even get in any kind of knee replacement or hip replacement. So I was like, okay, so we got to find a middle ground between socialized medicine and pay for a fortune medicine. And I don't have that answer, but I'm sure if somebody spent a couple of years and putting their time and effort into that, I'm sure somebody could come up with something better than what we have right now.
I struggle with that question, in terms of, because I think sometimes systems are built to uphold, you know, and again, it goes back to values, and the values of some systems are meant to uphold practices that may be a bit antiquated and that are not going to help people. And then there are some other institutions where they are actively thinking of ways, innovative ways, to make sure that you and I can afford this medicine. And so, but what I struggle with is the fact that sometimes people know that there are silos, They're just not willing to do something about it. Because for whatever reason, for some groups of folks, like, it benefits them to have those silos established and not be disrupted. So my question to all of us, even your audience, is that, well, how do we become disruptors? How do we become disruptors so that we can see some change?
Well, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm one of the biggest disruptors in a lot of ways. I mean, positive disruptors. I'm not like going out there like...
Yes,
positive
disruptors. Yes.
Yeah. Like nothing violent. Like not staying out in the hot weather protesting or cold weather protesting. What I'm doing, like, you know, when I disagree with something about my insurance, I literally go find a person or organization to complain to and say, this should be illegal. I probably have at least reported my insurance company at least 5 times. And one of them actually called me up then very next day. It's like, we heard you were very unhappy with us. And it's like, that does not begin to explain it.
Wow. And they called you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's rare.
Yeah. I was like, well, I think what happened is that, I contacted my state representative, not the governor, but something lower. Again, not going political, I'm just naming the position.
No. You're helping me understand the hierarchy, okay?
And I don't know all the hierarchy off the top of my head, but it's like something lower than a governor, maybe a mayor. No, there's just a state representative, whatever it is.
State representative, yeah.
Yeah. And so then I contacted their office by email, just sent to them. It's like, look, and it's like, I don't care. And this is what I said to them point blank, because I don't like politics whatsoever. I said to them, it's like, I don't. And so I said, yes, I vote a certain way, but I don't care for any of the parties at the end of the day. They don't help me out whatsoever. So and it's like, but this insurance, and I told them what the insurance company was doing. I was like, I feel like I'm being a pawn in someone's game. And then like 2 days later, I get a call and it's like, we heard that you're unhappy with us. And it's like, And it's like, Lola Brady told you. And it's like, Lola Brady. And it's like, so now I feel like I'm on the blacklist because it's like, they probably have like a note next to him. It's like, watch out for this person because it's like, Jimmy Clear should, and it's like, let's not piss him off.
And that goes back to accountability. Like, how do we hold, you know, these companies accountable, you know, given that we're paying them all this money, you know, for a service? Like, what would that look like? Do we need to start telling these institutions or companies, like, how? I mean, and again, this goes beyond reviews.
Yeah.
So, you know, just giving a review. So, and I don't have the answers to that, just because those are some big conglomerates and they, you know, again, supported and financed, you know, by other institutions. So how do we begin to talk, to have an honest discussion on accountability?
You know, well, one of my speeches that I recently did this past April, I talked about how the healthcare system is not on purpose, but is hurting people with those with extra challenges. And I'm not going to share the whole thing because it was 30 minutes long. But the point basically was, because doctors are short on time due to they have to meet a certain hour money quotas in a whole business day. Again, varies by office and location and probably other rules that only God knows. I basically... let's just say, I said, because they don't have, because doctors are strict on time, they are not allowed, it's not beneficial for people with extra challenges like autism or Just anything else. I mean, the list goes on. I'm just using autism because that's what I have. But I mean, and if I list every single one, I could literally have a whole episode about every single thing. But my point being, this for basically, I said, because the doctors don't give you the time. Well, if I had to play 100 questions, etc., well, it's going to be not beneficial for the doctor because it's short on time, not good for insurance, etc., and it's not good for me because then I'm not understanding what the doctor is telling me. So it's like,
and that's beyond implementing sensory-friendly practices in the healthcare settings too, from what you're telling me.
So sorry that it took me a little bit of time to get those words out, but I was trying to simplify 30 minutes of stuff into as short as possible.
No, I know, because I know that we're coming on time, but I just think that that's it's getting me to think about, like, how do we ensure that you have quality, well, anyone who has autism, like, quality care, like, accessing healthcare just across the, you know, your lifespan, you know? And then how do we know for sure, like, by using metrics and having focus group conversations, if you are getting the healthcare that you need? And if whether or not you make the best use of these healthcare resources, and if those resources are not there, like, how can we provide them so that we can improve, you know, social, physical, and mental health outcomes, you know, for individuals living with autism? You bring up such a great point. And that's another that's another session where we could focus on that. But I'm interested in learning a little bit more. And I think that's the purpose of me working in public health. Like, I want, I think that's where change can happen. You know, it's just by building that curiosity to learn, and then to finding out, like, best practices. Because I'm sure there are other places where people, I mean, besides Europe, I know their systems is not 100% perfect, but I'm sure there are other places where they have these best practices that we could use, hopefully, and that could make a difference.
Yeah, because I was, like, thinking to myself the other day, because, like, my parents, like, well, you know what? If you pay more money, you get better care. And I was like, I know somebody at karate who literally pays, like, he didn't tell me the exact whole amount, but it's like, but it was in the thousands. I don't know how far in the thousands, but he's like, he still gets, like, pushback from the insurance. Like, if he's paying you thousands, you should kiss my ass.
Yeah,
and I don't think ass is a curse word. It's just
no. I mean, this is a judgment-free zone, and, you know, if I'm not making it any clearer, like, there's no judgment on my end. Every now and then, you gotta use some colorful words. I'm a firm. It's a de-stressor. I mean, if nothing else, like, I've learned so much from you in our, in our conversation today, and then a lot to reflect on. And I love those types of conversations, because this is very much aligned with my systematic reflection practice, like, you know, like, with my clients, and then also for me, you know, as a person. And so you've given me so much to think about, and I'm looking forward to glean, like, the insights that I get once I'm by myself this week and the coming week, and just take some notes, right? And see, like, how can I do my part, you know, to bring about some changes too.
Well, I'm glad that I was able to give you some insight, and I definitely would love to have you come back on in the future, because we could, I definitely could think of, like, part two and part three and so on and so forth. And I was like, there's like, this is the kind of stuff I like, because I was like, wow, you know, it's like somebody's, I met someone in public health. It's like, I don't think I could ever get someone from my insurance company, because I would just butt heads with them the whole day. Just because.
Same thing for me too. Like, you know, I pay for my health insurance, and sometimes I feel underinsured. And I think that's always a bummer, isn't it? You know, you pay all this money and you think, I'm going to have access to everything. And then when you go to your doctor's or to a physician's office, they say to you, well, we don't take your insurance. And it's like, and it's frustrating, because you realize right then and there that the, you know, the health insurance process is not as transparent, even when they have, you know, the information available, you know, on their websites. Sometimes it's not written in a way that's understandable, you know, and we're not just talking about people living with autism. We're talking about people with other, you know, people who are blind. Like, I have a friend of mine who's blind, and it's like, sometimes it's hard, you know, to access this information in layman terms. You know, that's, again, like, just user-friendly, right? I mean, we were talking about this even with your microphone, too. Like, some of the companies, when they come up with these products, it's like, are they taking into account the people they are excluding, you know, as part of their pilot test for this product, right? What if, like, you know, someone needed to use this microphone, needed to use the microphone, but they can't move their hands? What happens then? You know what I mean? Like, what other sensory type of devices that they could come up with, so that everyone feels like they can use this microphone, right? So anyway, we could go on and on. But
yep. So my last few questions for you.
Yes.
Who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
My favorite podcaster. You know, I have to be honest with you, I don't have a favorite per se, just because I think that all of you have different platforms, you cater to different audiences, and then you have a different style of communication. I think for me, the podcasters I've enjoyed the most are those who are unapologetically themselves, right? Where the conversation is free flowing, like you and I are doing or have done in your show, and then people who truly care about what they're doing, and they are not afraid to say, I don't know. Like, there are some questions that, you know, that I have asked them, because it's supposed to be a conversation, and then some of them would say, I don't know. And I said, I respect that, because then the person is not trying to come up with an answer just for the sake of coming up with an answer. So those are the types of podcast hosts that I prefer, and that I am one of these people, remember, that I can work with anyone under the sun. But it's just a personal preference. I love people who are like that.
And my last question for you is, where can people follow you, find you, and learn more about who you are and what you do?
So to learn more about my mission and my vision statement, if you will, for my earthly assignment, people can find me on my website at www.pathwaycoachwriting.com, which I know you'll provide to them. They can find me on LinkedIn, on Spotify, because I've been featured on different podcasts. And I've spoken on various issues. And so those are the places people can find me. Instagram, all social media channels. That's where people can find me.
Awesome. I'll put those all in the show notes. And I would definitely love to have you back on in the future, because I could literally go on hours upon hours. It'd be like the longest podcast. I mean,
yes, a 1 hour podcast. Yes.
It would be like 6 hour podcast episode.
Oh my goodness. You know, there is one YouTube influencer, love his content. His name, well, he goes by the name of FD Signifier. His podcast, I mean, his, I don't know if he has a podcast, but his YouTube videos are like 1 hour, 2 hours long. And literally after, yes, it's a thing. And literally within 30 minutes, I just say to myself, and show, you're just going to have to just take this in, like in bite-sized pieces. So now, trust me, we could go on and on about what we talked about today. I'm looking forward to being on the show. And then, yeah, continue to be value added to your audience.
Thank you. And let's stay in touch.
Let's stay in touch, my friend.
Have a good rest of your day.
Bye.
So that's all the time we have for today. If you enjoy the show, let me know and by leaving a review, but keep it polite, if I can speak. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. And I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite. We're honored to have you as part of our audience. If you're looking for a more immersive experience, we invite you to join our private community, where you'll get exclusive access to Jimmy Clare, expert guests, and a community of high achievers. Click the link in our show notes to learn more and apply. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you thought of this episode. Your feedback matters.
Hey, this is Jimmy Clare, and I just want to say thank you for being a loyal and supportive Crazy Fitness Guy premium podcast subscriber. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without you, our show wouldn't be possible and we wouldn't still be standing today. Thank you for your support and everything that you have done over the years to keep us in business. Thank you.